This is BirdieCast. A podcast about making light of life on tour. We're your hosts, professional golfers Maya Schechter and Leslie Klutz.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Loop Life. Loop Life is a unique line of premium golf accessories, including microfiber towels and hardwood ball markers. Loop Life is launching on August 14th, and as a launch special for BirdieCast listeners, you can get a 25% off your first purchase through the end of August at looplife.com. Just use the discount code BirdieCast25 at checkout. That is looplife.com. Welcome back to BirdieCast. This is episode 15, and today we have two very special guests.
Yeah, so we have Patty Hubbard and Stephanie Martin from Brand Forward, who were in Battle Creek, Michigan this week, and they came down and are doing the Player Development Series this year on tour, which are required for rookies, but also open to any other players. So they've been kind enough to come and help us out. This was session number 3. So, talking about brands and how to build your brand. So we're really excited to have you guys on. So I don't know if you guys want to just give us like a background story on how you guys got started.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I'm Patty Hubbard. I'm one of the co-founders of Brand Forward, and Stephanie and I started the company 2 years ago. Coming off our experience in working in sports and brand and marketing for 20 plus years. I'll leave it at that, 20 years. It could be closer to 30. But we really, when we were sort of at a crossroads with our careers, about 2 years ago, we sat down and started talking about the things we really enjoyed, our passions in sports, and really how we wanted to combine our strengths, which is a lot of what we've been talking to our players about on the Symetra tours, really using your strengths and really focusing on the things you enjoy doing. And our background, the things that we enjoyed in working with specifically in sport, is mentoring athletes. We enjoyed the educational part of it. And we enjoyed, or at least we observed in working with athletes, that there was a huge disparity in how they leverage their platforms and use their platforms and how their knowledge on marketing. So, hence the beginning of Brand Forward.
Yeah. So, what's the backstory behind the name?
Yeah. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. So, we were really thinking about a couple things. One, brand, and just brand is such a big word, but we knew brand was important because we wanted people to really think about their personal brand and how they can bring the things that they care about to life. And then for us, it's always about moving things forward. So how do we help people to not only learn about their personal brands, but all the little things that you could do to move your brand forward, get people excited about what you care about, and expose them to new things?
Yeah. And naming a company is one of the hardest things you'll ever do.
Yes. You know, that's funny. We went through several names when we finally settled on BirdieCast.
Well, it was like two names, but we had a lot of, you know, like the capital letter, small letter, you know.
Yep. Yeah. We spent a long time on our logo as well.
Yeah. I like the logo with like the backwards B.
Yeah.
I like
that. Yeah. The idea is that backwards B, you're looking in the mirror and really determining, you know, who you're about.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. And we use the BFWD just because everyone shortens their names now.
It's very Silicon Valley.
Really?
Makes it easier. It's very aesthetically pleasing. Yeah. Everything's very round.
Because if you spell it Brand Forward, it's a little too long.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So then, I mean, just looking at what you guys do, you have an athlete, but I guess one of your big things is everybody's unique and kind of building your unique brand, and you don't have like a cookie cutter, like this is how you build your brand. But is it ever hard to building a brand that is beyond your sport? Do you ever come across athletes where it's like, I mean, they're really just the athlete, and it's like hard to find something for them to build a brand around beyond just their sport?
I don't think we've come across that to date, but I think part of it's our process. So the people that work with us are interested in not necessarily doing more, but really understanding, like, they are an athlete and what can I do with this platform. So they know that they're wanting to put some work into it. And we go through a proprietary process that we've built that helps to unveil some of those passions and values and motivators that maybe the athlete didn't even know they had. And a lot of times it's, you know, we don't say, tell us what you love. We ask questions that get around it. So it kind of comes out naturally and people start to realize, well, I do love these other things. These are other interests I have, and I didn't realize I could pursue those interests in addition to being a professional athlete. And so part of what Patty and I do is just give athletes the confidence to be able to pursue what else they care about, what else they're excited about, and then how to do it.
Yeah. And part of it is when you're starting out on a rookie tour, like Symetra, some people think, well, I'm not ready to do that yet, but that's usually the best time is to start, because you're not going to build your platform overnight. It's going to be part of your journey and your process to get there. And just thinking about it in the beginning, getting some of the tools in place, getting your story down, right, which is going to continue to evolve, it puts you in a position to take advantage of those opportunities on your journey that you can continue to build your platform. So a lot of it is getting athletes ready to kind of take
that
on.
Yeah, because I know growing up, and even still, people, I mean, around me say, you know, let the game, you know, do the talking, and it's kind of like opportunities will come once you start playing well and things like that, but it seems like, yeah. I mean, that's not the case. You kind of want to get started right away. Is that a tough mindset to change in people? Is it hard to really point that out?
It's starting to change. We're starting to see more and more athletes who see, they look up to other athletes and they see, okay, well, they are entrepreneurs, they are storytellers, they're using platforms. And so part of it is the general idea that you're an influencer. So whether you're an athlete or a musician or an artist, you are an influencer and people want to hear your voice. So, you know, we focus on the athlete part of it is because for many athletes, it can be a shorter period of time. So we want them to start thinking about it because not everyone is going to be at the level or be, you know, it's going to be part of the journey, but it's not going to be the only thing they do.
Yeah.
An NFL player plays on average 2.7 years.
Oh.
So the idea that you start from beginning is really important.
Yeah, right.
And I think also as we become, like, more engaged in social media and people are growing up now with social media throughout their whole lives, you see student athletes who are really using social to build their platforms in college. So you're even before you go pro, you have this opportunity to build that platform even at that beginning. So we're seeing a lot more of it get younger and younger, skewing younger as people are starting to focus on how do I tell my story, and as Patty said, you know, share what I care about and share my voice.
Yeah. Do you guys work with a lot of college teams then? Is that, or do you do mostly professional?
We do mostly professional and retired athletes.
Okay.
But we are starting to see more colleges in particular, not only just the athletes themselves, but college athletic departments that are training and providing services to their student athletes, which has been fantastic.
Wait, have you ever had those social media trainings?
Me,
at
no.
school? Yeah, I think we had 2 years of those, but it was basically don't post anything that looks bad.
That was the extent of it.
That was pretty much it.
But that's what I was going to say. It's a lot of the tone that we've noticed, and whether you're at the collegiate level or professional level, is that athletes are usually told the don'ts and like all the pitfalls and all the negative. And so what we focus on is more of the positive and, you know, the do's, and just really keep that as a mantra for us.
Yeah. Yeah. We want you to feel empowered. You should feel comfortable using these tools for your advantage and to support yourself. And it shouldn't be about the restrictions. It's really about, like, here's how to use them.
Yeah. Bringing your strengths to the forefront.
Right. What would be, I guess, so in building a story, you guys talked about, I mean, our first session, we go through our Instagram and you kind of, like, I didn't really feel
social
like
audit.
I had. Yeah, right. Pretty much, you like scroll through and figure out what your passions are by, I mean, looking at what you've already posted. I think that's huge. I mean, even
I thought
for
it was
me,
super helpful.
Yeah.
Kind of figuring your three themes, that's how y'all brought it, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was really
I mean,
great.
Your kids are getting on social media at the age of 13, right? So you could even go that young to say, like, everything you put on there is there forever.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure that, and kids don't necessarily think about that, but they naturally kind of do it.
Yeah.
They're sharing things that they're passionate about. And we want to make sure that when someone views your social media, it's 3 to 5 things they take away.
Yeah.
You're not all over the place, but you're focused on 3 to 5 passions or things that you want to continue to be talking about.
Right.
Yeah. In general.
And it's often very helpful to look at it with someone else because you don't always see the things, but when you share it with someone else, they're like, oh, you really care about this. You're the three things you care about.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
or it's good to do that process with a friend.
A close friend who will be honest with you as well. Like, too many selfies, you know.
Like, too many of this.
Yeah,
Leslie,
know?
Too many selfies. Stop the dog's mind. Your dog, by the way, Stephanie, is very cute.
Aww.
We were looking at your social medias trying to figure out what your three were.
Nice.
You could tell.
Family, friends,
lucky dog.
Yeah. Thank you.
Very cute. Lucky, is it?
His name's Lucky, yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. That's adorable. So I guess you guys have been, this was your third session with us on the Symetra Tour. We're kind of curious to see what your impression was of the Symetra Tour and players. And if you, I mean, any comments or room for improvement in different areas, I don't know.
I mean, I walked away as a, you know, everyday just normal golfer, like really impressed with what you guys have to deal with every week in and out. I mean, the travel that you do, the locations you're getting to, the commitment you have, it's really impressive. And totally get that you may not have time every day to put into what we're proposing, but I think there's a lot of what we covered is like the basics of getting started. So that maybe in the off season you can start building things. It's exhausting. I mean, we asked you to do these workshops first thing in the morning on a, before a long week, and I was really impressed with how engaged you all were just based on what, everything else that you're doing.
Great questions, and yeah, I think we appreciate the fact that it can be hard to ask questions in a large group, so the one-on-one time with everybody was really positive because for us it's all about the individual. Like, you have to do this process very individually. It's very personal, so to spend time with different people has been really great, and we appreciate how open you are to wanting to, you know, not only focus on your golf game, but also everything that goes around it. And I think as professional athletes, you're of the age where you understand there is so much more to being an athlete than just, you know, the game itself.
Yeah.
So we've really enjoyed it.
And a lot of our experience, what Stephanie said earlier, is the confidence to know that, you know, you have a platform, you are an influencer, you are a professional golfer, and there's a lot of opportunities that can open up by building your community and networking and really taking advantage of all these stops, the people that you're meeting, and understand the value of that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's like you don't realize, you know, there, people will link in with you. They will return your call because you are an athlete.
Right.
Use that as a positive thing where you can leverage that to the fullest.
For sure. So when you guys work with a client, I mean, do they oftentimes find you? And then on top of that, I feel like a lot of what you guys do is building your brand for that life after professional athletics, but is it ever hard to get somebody to realize that there is a life after athletics? Because sometimes when you're in the moment, it's like, I want to do this forever.
But
kind of,
I don't want
to. It's hard to think about, the after.
We've had those conversations. So there are definitely those that have said, like, I'm terrified about what comes next.
You know?
So you get levels of fear, anxiety, just uncertain as to what, you know, I don't know what I want to do next. I've always focused on this one thing.
Right.
So Patty and I have kind of focused on how do we be coaches, because we know professional athletes have coaching resources. And so just to provide the safe space to be able to have these conversations and say, I'm really not sure what I want to do, and I want to keep playing forever, but I'm, you know, injury could end my career tomorrow, and so what else do I do? So I think we try to think about this work that we do also creates a softer landing for transition.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are ready to transition, it isn't that hard of an adjustment, and also mentally it's softer because so often athletes get wrapped up in the identity piece. I am a golfer, or I am a soccer player. It's That's not just you. That's not your only identity. Mm-hmm. You play that sport, you participate in that sport, but there's so much more to you. And so we spend a lot of time in conversation with our athletes, just as we're doing brand work, just helping them to see themselves in a light that maybe they haven't seen themselves in before.
Yeah, by leveraging strengths too. That's why we did the Strength Finders. You start to really understand, well, maybe this career would be better suited for me versus this career. It's all ladders back to the strengths that bring that and your unique value that you're bringing.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, and we've been out there in the world and the business world longer, so we can say, well, there's a whole other field that you're not even thinking about in marketing or business or whatever category you're in. And we can help them kind of say, well, let's start doing informational interviews and down this path and just kind of starting the process so they can explore.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. With the Strengths Finder, I was wondering with y'all's partnership, if, you know, both your strengths kind of like overlap or complement each other.
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. We have a few that are the same, but then a few that are different.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely more of the extrovert, which I think we've talked about a little bit, more of like the business development side of it. And then Stephanie is like an unbelievable writer and like, you know, we both are strategists, so that kind of, like, we'll look at a problem and we'll say, okay, here's how we might look at that. We have that similar trait, which helps
very
for
much
this.
So. Yeah, because a lot of problem solving, you think through things. And then I'm the extreme introverts, which is great because while Patty's doing an amazing thing with business development, I can just be into the work, which is where I love to be. So, like, we have natural places that we gravitate to, and that's why it makes our partnership so strong. But then I think the other thing that we bring, which is really important for this work, is empathy. We both come from a very empathetic place when we approach people because we know this process is about people. And so try to always think through their lens and through their experience and in their shoes. And that is a lot of the work we end up doing ends up being very psychological work because you're dealing with a human and their emotions as well.
Mm-hmm. Was that something you anticipated coming into this industry? Or is that like, this is...
We were kind of doing that just through mentoring people just on the side. Okay. You know, in the industry that we're in, it's very much about like the mentorship and people saying, can you talk to my high school student or someone who's coming out of college? We just sort of did that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is... led us to where we are now of like really enjoying that part of what we do, like giving back because someone gave back to us in our careers, and we get great joy in that.
Yeah, and I'd say being women in sport, and there are still fewer women working in sport, and we're both have been in leadership roles, you know, that there's a lot of natural mentoring that we do with women, but then also with men as well. So
yeah. Leslie and I were talking about this, kind of the comparison between the men's and women's sports, and I think Leslie has kind of two good anecdotes that compares men's and women's golf. I don't know if you want to...
Yeah, I was reading an article earlier this week, I think it was on Golf Week, about Imbi Park at a time, I actually don't know currently, but number one in the world, and she had to purchase her TaylorMade woods, number one in the world.
Wow.
And it was kind of talking with other more veteran players on the LPGA that's how it has been, but maybe it's time to change that compared to, you know, the guys, like, if Tiger wants TaylorMade woods, they'll probably give him money. I have a friend from Belgium, he goes to college, and he basically just needs to pick up the phone, and the next day his new wedges will be there. And I don't know what his ranking is right now, but it's not like, you know, it, just
a
good
one.
Yeah,
it's
just a D1 college player. Yeah, kind of like. Yeah.
And if you think about women's sports, like golf and tennis are some of the highest paid out there, right?
No,
so if, like, women golfers are experiencing that, you imagine what maybe a WNBA player or soccer player, you know, that is such a great disparity between sports.
But so, that comparison of men's and women's sports, if it's hard for women to get, I mean, these even similar treatment from companies, do you feel like brand is a way, do we have to utilize brand more in order to make up for that? Or do you guys find that there's a big disparity in how men and women approach brand?
Probably a couple things. On the brand side, for sure, because it just differentiates you from anyone. I mean, you're in a field of a whole bunch of competitors that are doing the same thing. So brand's going to differentiate you no matter if you're a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. But I think also then on the way that women approach things versus the way that men approach things, women tend to be, I need to prove my competence in everything on this list and check it off before I pursue something. Men go forward with the confidence of, I'm going to learn that on the go. I can figure that out. So men are already taking like two steps ahead, where women are still trying to like figure all their stuff out. So if women would be more confident in the fact that they, in their skills, that I am capable and I'm strong and I can do these things, they can move forward more quickly and just pursue the things that they're interested in more quickly as well.
Yeah, and for any league, it's helpful when the players are rising, right? So if they're building their brands, it helps the general sport and it helps the league, and it spreads awareness for the LPGA and the Symetra Tour as well, the more that the players are doing. So I think it's a true testament to the Symetra Tour that they brought in brand builders, because they understand, like, by you individually building your brands, it helps the whole initiative.
For sure.
Yeah, it's got to start from the ground up.
Yeah,
right.
It does.
No, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's great they brought you guys on. Has been super helpful. And I think in the past, they tried to get more in-house people to guide the rookie orientations. But yeah, I'm a really big fan of this. So
good. That's great feedback.
Both Maya and I are not rookies, and we both attended like all three sessions.
Great.
It's been really helpful.
Oh, that's great.
And I think even for BirdieCast brand, I'm helping to build that, because I think that's one of the things too, is one of the goals of this podcast is kind of to get people to learn more about life on tour. So, I mean, helping to build that brand is big too.
Mm-hmm. Love it. They love that you're doing it. I mean, that's our whole point of, like, get yourself out there and start things and start to explore different opportunities and unknowns. And like Stephanie said, just try it. And you guys are having success in a short time.
Yeah. And that's what's so fun about BirdieCast, is it's the behind-the-scenes content that we as fans never get to see. So to be able to hear your experiences, it's like, it's fascinating. Because people would never even think, oh, you know, look at all these places they're going to and the travel. And
it's a unique lifestyle, I think.
Yeah, people think it's glamorous, but some parts are definitely not.
No, right. No, there's...
But then they get to understand your hard work and your determination, the type of people you are as well.
But then even, I think that's why, like, talking to you guys is so interesting, because that's not... I think that's a part of life on tour that a lot of people don't understand either, is how... I mean, the tour, like the PGA Tour, does so much brand building and getting like Jordan Spieth to be, you know, I mean, he's a great player, but to have him be such like a star on tour, and how they really pick the players that they want to be at the forefront, and how it's not like, it's not luck. But I don't know if the LPGA could do a better job, or if there's, do you think that one player changes the brand of the tour, or is it, I mean, like you were saying, all the players do it together?
I think it's each player reaches a different audience. So I'm thinking about your community building that we did for the workshop. It's reaching for you guys, like your alumni networks, like people who went to school with you are going to want to follow your career. Like everyone's a little bit different in how you sort of reach your audiences. And it's important that everyone engages, because it helps bring awareness to the tour in general.
Yeah, right. And that grows the overall community when you have all these different little groups of people that are like, oh, I didn't know about this. I'm really interested to learn more. And you start to attract a wider audience.
Yeah. Especially if you can integrate and connect with people outside of just your sport, other athletes, because there's a real openness to that you can connect with other women or men in other sports, and increases your community that way. And so if you look at Steph Curry, just played on the web.com tour, think about what that did for that tour. And like part of what he wanted to raise awareness of is the quality of players on that tour.
Yeah.
And it helps tell the story of that tour and what he was doing.
Yeah.
I was talking to another player about that. I think it was Demi. And she said, we should just ask Steph Curry to sponsor a Symetra tour.
Yeah.
Done.
There are some PR opportunities that would definitely help.
Yeah. Interesting idea.
We'll look into that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or have him on BirdieCast.
Well, that's true. Well, That's a good
idea. I mean, think about that.
Can you make that happen?
Well, yeah,
we'll add that to the list.
Yeah, exactly. That would be pretty cool.
There's got to be some other female athletes who want to come play on the Symmetra Tour for a couple of dates.
Yeah, for sure.
So
sure.
Put the challenge out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking, I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about the comparison between the PGA and the LPGA. It's a constant discussion here on tour, as you can tell. But there used to be an event, and there is an event in Australia where the men and women compete against each other, and having an event like that, I think, you know, getting the LPGA to kind of piggyback off of the PGA's brand and helping them build us, I don't know if that's...
Yeah, well, I mean, look at some of the NBA players going out to the WNBA games.
Mm-hmm.
That's done a ton to spread awareness and support of the quality of the game.
Right.
And what's happening out there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I guess tennis is the only sport, I think, where the men and women are paid the same and they compete
at
the same, well, the majors, I guess, the same courts. So it's, I think, getting the brands to kind of mesh together a little bit more would be huge for us.
But think about what Serena's done for the game in general.
Yeah.
And like, she's probably one of like the top female sports brand from our perspective.
For sure.
Well, how do you, because she has like such a great story, do you think she worked really hard on building that, or is that just naturally she has a good story?
She probably has a really robust team as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also a very clear point of view. You know, like, you really know what she stands for, and as she's evolved from a young person to now a mother, like, you really know what her message is.
Yeah.
And it's crystal clear all the time, and that's such an important thing for any athlete, is to have a clear point of view and really know what you're speaking about. It just makes a world of difference, because it differentiates all of you.
In her interview, she's always real, and her tone is real, and it's approachable. And so there's things about her that are also very likable.
Yeah.
Very authentic person.
Dramatic, yeah. Do you think, so the comparison between, some people feel like, oh, I need to post every day, like I need to make sure I'm getting myself out there, putting content out. If you were to choose between more content, but maybe a little less focused, or having like...
Less content.
Less content, but having your three, you know, these are the things I stand for. That's what you
quality over quantity all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's there are a bunch of NFL players currently who have like scaled back their Instagram posting to once a week, but it's really well thought out. And so you just kind of understand what what they stand for. You know, like a Tom Brady is, you're always going to see family in like every third post. That's really important to him. So understanding those key things that are important to you, and if it's your dog, you know, like having the, you know, be seen so that people consistently see this thread. Definitely quality over quantity for sure.
Yeah. Is there a difference between things like an Instagram post that is there, you know, forever, or like your Insta story, which is there for 24 hours? Does that have to be consistent with your image, or is it kind of like, this is what I'm doing now, this is what I'm doing now, or is, you know what I mean, like, can they be different, or is it always
so you should always have the thread of yourself through everything. Like posting something that's completely off brand for you, you probably wouldn't post that anyway.
Right.
You wouldn't post that to your friends and family. That, you know, there's just certain things that we don't do as humans that, you know, you're just not going to post it. So it doesn't have to be, you know, so structured that it's like, these are my three topics, I don't post about anything else.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm traveling overseas, I want to post my vacation photos.
Yeah.
That's all great.
Yeah.
But you should pull a thread of yourself through. So if it's you're really into food and you happen to be on vacation, then what are those food photos that you're posting and trying new experiences? Whatever it might be, there's always a way to bring your point of view across. Okay. In Instagram versus Instagram stories, like, stories are so seen because they're so easy at the top.
Yeah.
They get great views.
Yeah.
And those are very easy things to do. So definitely Instagram stories is a great thing to play around with if you haven't tried.
Yeah.
Because you get really high engagement rates from them.
Yeah. Does that translate into, I mean, like, building your brand, or is it just temporary?
No, build your brand.
It does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you'd say still to stay consistent, it's not just like a...
Yeah, stay consistent throughout. Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
Oh.
And again, if like your tone of voice is like you come from a place of humor, right? So like that's probably not going to come up all the time.
Right.
But if it's something you see every day and like you want to share, and that's, you want to be known as someone who's funny, right? Like there's a way that you would approach that.
Yeah.
Might be a little less visual and more Insta stories, right? Mm-hmm. So there's ways that you can kind of balance that.
That's interesting. Yeah. I think I have to do some reflection and figure out what exactly I want to do. Because mine's all over the place.
Yeah, definitely.
That's
experiment.
True. It can change, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we're always evolving, so yeah, you can definitely experiment and try things. And at the end of the day, what you're most comfortable with is what you should do, because you're going to spend the most time doing that.
Yeah,
and so,
that's true.
And part of it is not just, you know, advice to you guys as a player group. You know, if you're all posting the same visual of the new stop that you're on, it's not super interesting, but you can say, okay, well, here's the hard, right, here's the hardest hole in the course that we've seen. Uh-huh. Like, you're actually giving some perspective on your experience. Or, like I was saying earlier in the clip, like, talk about putting, or this is the hardest green on this tour stop, or something that's also informational to share.
That's true, that's and unique. Because I feel like, some people, a lot of people post the same.
Right, kind taking of, swings on the driving range.
Yeah, taking off it, blah, 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 tomorrow. Yeah. And it's, which I can understand in a sense, because, like, you have followers that aren't on tour, and so their whole feed isn't, you know, golf swings.
Yeah.
But
they want to know where you're at, too.
Yeah. But I guess taking a different, maybe a golf swing, you know, every fourth week, and then having a different kind of.
Well, like, I want to know as, like, just a casual golfer, like, hole three is the hardest, and here's how we're going to approach it, or something, or this is what this is what can happen on this hole, or this is a crazy hole, or something that's a little bit more insight driven.
Maya, we need to figure out three themes for BirdieCast Instagram.
Yeah, three themes.
That's right.
We'll figure that out. They're not coming to mind at the moment.
Travel.
We'll be okay.
We may need like 30 episodes for that.
Yeah, right.
Maybe. Some good insights gathered.
It's life on tour, right? You get one.
That's
so it's just breaking that down into the little things that you love to share when you're on tour.
Yeah, but that's a good point, though, because we do have an Instagram for our BirdieCast and you know, trying to build the brand and have those themes so that it is
kind of I feel like it's kind of nice because you have your personal brand, but then we're creating something together as well that's not necessarily as attached to you.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, think of it as a thought leader. Like, you're learning something every time you talk to, you do an interview.
Yeah.
So you have insights to share with a larger audience around what you're hearing in these interviews.
That's part of what we post is, like,
education.
Yeah, and, like, how we try and post an Instagram post that has to do with what we talk about.
Yep. Yeah,
like,
perfect.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, more, I guess it's like, hey, the episode is up, and then it's a picture about but... I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're working on it. We're learning as we go.
Yeah, so there was another group, trio, who's on the Symmetra Tour, and they wanted to do, like, the three of them had three different passions, right? Like, it was, like...
It was travel, beauty, and going out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they created a hashtag around that, the four of them together.
Really?
That's right.
Oh, what's the hashtag? I think I know who you're talking about, too.
Adventure. It was, like, something like travel adventure...
Four on tour or something like that.
Four on tour.
Oh, that's a good one.
Uh-huh.
Four on tour.
But it was F-O-R-E, like four.
The four of them. Mm.
Yeah. That would be a good podcast name, too.
There you go.
Maybe we should bring
that's your
on.
Next podcast.
You should bring them on. Because they all, like, when they are part of the behind the scenes for them to share is we're going to go check out the area and see what's, like, kind of restaurants or, like, food and just those categories versus just the golf.
Right. I think that's a common thing on tour that a lot of people don't understand is we're playing golf a lot, but we are in a new city every week, and it's fun to go check it out. Like, last week we were in Milwaukee, and Leslie and I went to the art museum in Milwaukee, which was great, and the state fair was going on.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, there's, you get we love to check it out. Yeah,
yeah take advantage of the fact that you're in these new cities.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to the Kellogg Factory Tour. Well, we want to see that.
Yeah. You sure you don't have time for that? No, it's a process, though. I guess it doesn't, like you were saying, it doesn't happen overnight, and it takes time to build that brand. But getting started as soon as possible is key. And
also resetting athletes' mindset that everything, like, they lived in such a transactional world of I need immediate return, I need a quick endorsement, I need this or that, mm-hmm. versus a brand takes more time, which will be, it's more about future planning. It's short-term planning, but also looking towards the future to make sure that what you're aligning yourself with will set you up for endorsements that are more partnerships, mm-hmm. right? So the way that we look at as a partnership, not an endorsement.
Right.
For us, an endorsement's a short-term fix.
Yeah.
And so everything around that athlete has been very transactional and short-term.
Yeah.
So we like to balance that out with the long-term as well.
Yeah. Do you think having an athlete pick their or choose what they really stand for helps them then choose endorsements mm-hmm. and partnerships because yeah. you want people then that align with what you
yeah.
align
Because you don't want to be a pitch man or a pitch woman.
No, right.
You know, like you want a brand that's values aligned with you.
Yeah.
Right. It should be a partnership, and the brand should be telling your story as much as you're telling the brand story. That's yeah. when the partnerships work the best.
Yeah.
And to be honest, that's when it works the best for the brand because then if you're aligned with that brand, the brand's audience says, oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We yeah. know she stands for this, so this totally makes sense that they're working together. Mm-hmm. It's when they're not aligned, the fans are like, well, wait a second. He's really wealthy, and he's not driving an expensive car. Like, why is he promoting mm-hmm. these cars? That doesn't make sense. So
yeah.
those are the types of things that, you know, like fans don't see as authentic. So,
and your fans will know whether it's authentic for you guys, yeah. right? Because you yeah. share enough and you have keywords enough, or you follow companies. So and a partner will look at your LinkedIn and your social media to make sure that you do align with them as well.
Yeah.
Right. So it's important to share what's authentic to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then that partnership will make more sense to your yeah. fans and to you.
Maybe to close things off, we're thinking maybe y'all have maybe like three tips for players who are about to turn pro or like just mm-hmm. starting to, you know, create their brand. If you have like
yeah.
three quick tips that would get them started on the right foot.
We were actually just talking about that. So in that transitional period of like from going to Symetra to even LPGA, the 10 players who get their cards is really looking at that and making sure that they're set up when they do go to the LPGA tour. I'm not like a real good three tip person, but I would say that you just have to be ready and you have to make sure that you're set up with all your tools and resources and that you have your story ready. Right, so
yeah.
like the origin story that we talked about, to make sure like it's part of your journey and this is going to be another chapter in your journey, and make sure you kind of have that all organized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'd say if you're already on social media, start with that social audit. It's a really easy way to just be able to look at all of your social media and kind of see what you're talking about, because if you don't know what your passions are, that will kind of come out through that process. So that's a really easy way to start. Sit down with a friend and talk about what, you know, some of the things that you care about and you're interested in. They can help bring that part of the story out. And the big thing is, I think, just to feel confident in your story. Feel, you know, look, understand that you as a person have great strengths, you have great gifts, you have great things to share. Feel confident in sharing that with other people. And once you feel that confidence, you're going to want to do things like this. Like, you guys are going to inspire so many other people to be able to say, well, yeah, I can do a podcast. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to figure it out. And so just having the confidence to know that there's so much more you can do and to feel that confidence, that's a big one.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming
so
up on
much.
The show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really thanks for having us.
Yeah. Hanging around with
thanks
us.
Thanks for having us on tour as well.
I know
yeah.
we're going to be great.
Yeah.
We're going to miss
great.
You guys.
I know.
Have to keep following.
We'll be in touch. Don't
yes.
worry. Please rate and review us. How do you do that, Leslie?
You scroll down to the bottom if you are listening on your iPhone and you press 5 stars.
Please leave us a comment too. We really appreciate those. And
you can follow us on Instagram @birdiecast. We also have a website, birdiecast.com, where you can scroll to the bottom and subscribe to our awesome email list.
Yep. And
next week, we are talking finally about Outside the Ropes.
Yep. So we'll have Matt Clark and Morgan Miller on, and we'll be talking about some of the inside the operations of the Symetra Tour. So stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to Birdiecast.